Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and welcome to April. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, more on why the month is actually being dubbed Awful April. We'll explain all. Another company is a step closer to running trains through the Channel Tunnel, but will they stop at stations in Kent? And the new Gillingham manager's getting ready for his first home game. But first, this is our most read story today. A Gravesend man who served 10 years in prison for murder has told the podcast there needs to be more support for offenders once they're released. Luke Onyet was just 18 when he killed his dad following a row at a flat in Cobham Street in 2003. Luke's been telling reporter Sean McPollen how his mum left when he was 12 years old and he was brought up by his dad who had a drinking problem. Luke's behavioural issues saw him moved around various schools in the town, including Kings Farm Primary School, Chantry Community Academy and Lawn Road Primary School. By the age of 18, he'd also turned to alcohol and was described in court as a heavy drinker. He's now 39 and has been sofa surfing for the past 3 years. Luke says it's really difficult for people to avoid ending up back inside.
I was convicted of the Big M, unfortunately, when I was 18 years old. I won't go into the details of it, but I will say that there is no support for people in terms of when you're, you know, yeah. It's about the strength up there. If you haven't got that strength, because there is people that are just kicked out onto the streets and then they, you know, people criticise people and say that, oh, he'll end up back in prison. But the thing is, you've got to realise that this man has got no help, no support, nothing. There's no helping hand whatsoever. So therefore, there's no roof over his head. He's freezing cold. He's probably sleeping outside Tesco's or whatnot. And then you sit there and criticise him for going back to prison.
While he was in prison, Luke finished several courses and helped as a youth worker, talking to young people who were going down the wrong path and involved in knife crime. He lost his job as an agency worker at Gravesham Council at the end of last year and is still looking for a new role.
Kent Online News.
Another of our top stories now, a man who attacked his ex-partner and her daughter in Swanley has been found guilty of attempted murder. Gerard Parkinson lashed out with a hammer and knife at their home in Bonnie Way in March 2023. The 63-year-old from Park Hill Road in Sidcup is currently being held at a psychiatric unit and will be sentenced at a later date. Kent criminals have been ordered to pay back more than £5 million in cash and assets over the last year. Police can use legislation to seize money and possessions from drug dealers, fraudsters and organised gangs. There have been a total of 132 court orders since last April. Next today, a Kent salon owner fears other small businesses will close as what's being dubbed Awful April kicks in. A raft of higher costs for businesses come into force this month, including the minimum and national living wage and national insurance contributions. Price hikes in energy and water are also taking effect. Sophie Bayliss closed her hairdressing business in Sittingbourne at the weekend after her landlord said the rent would be going up. She's been chatting to Nicola.
The lease was due to be renewed at the end of this month. So from the 1st of April, I'd had to start a new agreement. And like all landlords, they like to put the rent up after the lease ends. And that, you know, with the water, electric, as everyone knows, going up and up and up, I just couldn't commit to another 5 years, let alone another 10, 15 years. You know, product costs, just, you know, wages, national insurance, the list goes on and on, doesn't it? VAT is a big one, obviously, at the moment. But, yeah, an accumulation, basically, of a lot of different things. But it was definitely very, very hard decision. And, yeah, an emotional one on Saturday for our last day, definitely.
Minimum wage, national living wage, they both go up. Was that, yeah, you mentioned that, that was part of your considering, was it, when that came
yeah.
in?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we're a rent-a-chair salon, so we only have one employee. We did used to have three apprentices at one time, but we cut that right back, and at the moment, as of closing, we only had one because obviously everything was so expensive. So it wasn't that wasn't a massive factor for us, really, because we didn't have a great deal of staff to pay. But I know a lot of other businesses, both in this sector and, you know, across all the other sectors, are going to be feeling that pinch as well.
What do you make of that? I mean, there are just so many small businesses who say, We just simply can't afford to be open anymore. I mean, it's devastating.
Yeah, because obviously the only way for us to make any more money is to palm that off on the client. And there's obviously a ceiling for that. Obviously, we don't want to be charging silly amounts. And if we did, then we probably wouldn't have any customers keep coming back to us. So there's only so much you can pass costs off for other things, and there's only so much cutting back on things you can do. And I know, we've looked at lots of different things, and if there was any way that we could have stayed open, we would, but we just really had got to the end of our rope with everything, and yeah, sadly made the decision before we were pushed, I suppose. I didn't want to be forced to close, and that's another thing, and be left in loads and loads of debt and have to close on a sour note as well.
And what do you think the government needs to be doing? Because obviously they announce all these raft of changes in the autumn budget. We've just had the spring budget. I know a lot of hairdressers went and actually had a protest about it. What do you think needs to happen, Sophie?
Well, I think what the hairdressers were trying to go towards was what I think is happening in countries like Ireland, which is a two-tier system for VAT. So in labour-intensive industries, which, believe it or not, hairdressing is one of those, charging 10% VAT on services, charge 20% on goods sold, that's fine, but 10% on the actual service that we're providing, because it's not goods, it's labor that we're essentially charging for. Obviously that hasn't happened, but I think that would have been a nice relief. I mean, obviously the business rates relief is no longer 75% off. I think they've changed it now to 40% off as of this next tax year, so that's another expense that businesses will have to find along with everything else. I just, like I say, it's very sad. I'm not sure where we're supposed to find this money from, especially small businesses. I mean, if chains can't keep up, how are we supposed to be doing that? I don't know.
And what's the plan for you, Sophie? What are you going to be doing next?
So I'm still going to be hairdressing, but I'm going to go back to what I love, which is hairdressing. Obviously, when you own a business, you don't get much time to do it. So I'm going to be renting a chair in I Wade at the Kailana Lounge, and literally just going in, doing my clients, and then going home at the end of the day, without the stress and the worry, and be able to be a hopefully a better mum and wife, a lot less stressed one than I've been the last few years. So I'm looking forward to that.
The government insists they're working to grow the economy. Meantime, a protest over a hike in energy bills is happening in Canterbury later. Campaigners are due to gather outside Barclays Bank in St George's Street. It coincides with the latest energy price cap rise, which will see dual fuel bills for a typical household rise to more than £1,800 a year.
Kent Online News.
Five fire engines have been sent to tackle a blaze at a house near Ashford. It broke out on Coldbridge Lane in Edgerton yesterday. No one was hurt, and it's unclear how the fire started. A car's been destroyed in a huge fire near homes in Gillingham. Pictures at Kent Online show the blaze on the A2 Watling Street yesterday evening. Residents say they could feel the heat from their houses. No one was hurt, and crews say it was caused by electricals burning in the engine. Seven people have been ordered to leave parts of Sittingbourne during a dispersal order over the weekend to tackle antisocial behaviour. Police were given extra powers to move on anyone who was causing a nuisance. A water company has admitted its sewerage network in a village near Sittingbourne is in poor condition and won't be able to handle hundreds of new homes that are planned. Southern Water say the system in Tenham isn't up to scratch after reports of raw sewage running down the streets. MP Helen Waitley's received a letter from the firm which confirms it lacks capacity. They're planning upgrades between now and 2030. The Ashford MP's told us he's had positive talks with Virgin Group about international trains stopping in the town. It's after Sir Richard Branson's company were given the green light to run services through the Channel Tunnel. Eurostar's had a monopoly on the passenger service for 30 years, but trains haven't stopped in the county since COVID. Sojourn Joseph is hoping that changes. He's been talking to Lucy.
This is something we've been working on for some time now. As you know, I've been campaigning for international travel to come back to Ashford and Ebbsfleet. So we had a series of meetings, including the support from Prime Minister when I asked that question in January. So Well, there has been so much work been happening behind the scene, and this was one of them, to check out if there is enough capacity at Temple Mills. So this report coming out from the ORR is very promising, very positive. So I'm really happy with the progress we're making.
And what will this mean for Ashford?
It is very important for Ashford. As you know, the local businesses, local campaigns, local councils have been campaigning for this for some time. For Ashford, it is vital for its businesses and economy, and also for environment as well, so that many people can get onto the train rather than traveling by other means, by road. So it is very important for Ashford.
And we haven't had confirmation yet that if these Virgin trains do run through the Channel Tunnel, whether they would stop at Ashford or indeed Ebbsfleet, the other Kent International Station. What would your message be to Sir Richard Branson if you could speak to him?
See, I met with Virgin Trains a few weeks ago, along with my other Kent Labour MPs. So we are working with operators like Virgin. Also, we working with Eurostar. So Eurostar never said they will not come back, but they at the moment they will not. But this is something they will be considering as well. The meeting with Virgin and Eurostar are in support of a competition. A competition will be good for Kent and the country. So the more the trains operate, more opportunities, more availabilities for public to use. So the message to Virgin Train was, Ashford has got very good connectivity within the southeast, is well connected by road, local trains. So more and more people will be using the train. So there is a huge market for Virgin to consider Ashford as one of their stops. They were considering it, and there's lots of work still to be done. So I'm very positive, especially after meeting with the Virgin a few weeks ago. I'm very positive that they are considering Ashford as one of their stops.
Kent Online News.
Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner says it's imperative young people are alerted to the potential dangers of cybercrime. Matthew Scott's been delivering awareness sessions to hundreds of pupils in Year 5, 6 and 7. His internet safety campaign comes after a survey found nearly a third of school children have been bullied online. A Chinese takeaway in Margate has been given a one-star food hygiene rating after inspectors found mice droppings and gnawed food containers. Officials from Thanet Council visited Pagoda Chinese in North Down Road and also discovered unsafe gas and electricity supplies. They ordered a deep clean. Bosses have been contacted for a comment. Council bosses insist upgrades are being carried out at a large leisure centre following claims the changing rooms are a disgrace. At Kent Online, you can see pictures we've been sent of the facilities at Medway Park in Gillingham. Medway Council say work to update the pre-swim shower area has been completed and floor tiles have been professionally cleaned. We're told the changing facilities are due to be completely redecorated soon. Bosses are due to decide tonight if a new leisure centre in Tunbridge will be built close to the existing one. The Angel Centre is due to be knocked down when a replacement has been completed. The Cabinet will be told the preferred site is on the Sovereign Way Mid Car Park, which is used by the monthly farmers market. It's hoped the new centre will be open by 2028. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been told a derelict venue in Thanet could reopen to audiences by the end of 2026. Council bosses in Margate have approved multi-million pound plans to bring the Margate Winter Garden back into use. Westwood One Theatre, which has recently renovated the Granville and Ramsgate, has won the contract. Molly Mallon is head programmer. She's been speaking to Nicola.
Pretty much everyone I know in my life has had some sort of experience at the Winter Gardens, and you know, it's a venue that's very close to people's hearts. So to see it in a state that it is in now, and it was closed, it was really sad for me, my family, and all my friends that have performed there ourselves. So yeah, it was bad.
I was going to say, what are your memories of it growing up, and have you been on the stage there? Is it somewhere that you've performed at?
Yeah, so I did my first ever show at the Winter Gardens. I must have been about five or six. I was singing a solo song and all my family were in the audience. And then since then I've done so many productions there, all from local societies. I've been as an audience member, I've known people that have worked there, so I've sort of had every sort of experience for the venue itself. So yeah, it's something that's very close to me.
And tell us a bit, Molly, for anyone who's never been there before, why it's quite so special. I don't know why, though. It's just a bit of a magic when you walk in because it's very unique as to where it's positioned and you go down the stairs into the main area. I mean, it's a very special venue, isn't it?
Yeah, I think for anyone that hasn't been to the venue, it's definitely something that is something that I haven't experienced at other venues before. I thought a lot of the sort of the training that I've done from being at the Granville, I've visited a lot of venues in sort of London and Kent, and it's just got something special. You can't explain it. When you walk in, it's just got that magical feeling. It's so historic. You've got the lovely sort of like beams in there. The stage is big. The capacity of the venue, you can get 3,000 people in there standing at once. It's just got a real magical feeling that I can't wait for everyone to experience.
Yeah, it really has. Now, very excitingly, Westfield One Theatres has obviously been chosen as the preferred company to oversee getting it back up and running again. So the council have really put their faith in you guys. What's your vision for it and tell us how it's all going to pan out?
Yeah, so the vision for it for me is the entertainment side of it, I don't want to change. The Winter Gardens previously had some amazing acts that were brought in for the area and for the community. So the entertainment side of it, we want to keep the same. We want to do your standing concerts, your big comedians. So we want to keep that the same. One thing that we want to do that's different is having different elements within the building. So having a drama school, having an orangery restaurant, having a nursery on site, and all of these sort of different elements. For anyone that doesn't know, especially being in the industry, keeping the lights on in a venue is particularly hard. So having different elements, just keeps it going and brings some life into the venue. So entertainment wise, I want to keep it the same, if not bigger. That's my sort of my goal. But yeah, it's going to be great.
Of course, we know though, these things don't come cheap. What is it looking like as far as funding and how much is it all going to cost to get it open again?
So it's match funded. So the council have given £4 million pounds for the project, and that has to be match funded by Westwood One Theatre. Obviously, things aren't cheap. It's a very big venue, and we know we've got a monstrous task financially and working wise. So we're doing everything we can to get those funds.
Does the venue itself, because of where it's located, right on the seafront, literally in a cliff face, does that pose a lot of different challenges as well?
Yeah, I think I've been into the venue myself a couple of weeks ago, and I was preparing for the worst. Again, referring back to the Granville, I've been at the Granville since it sort of opened, and I'm quite confident in saying that I feel like the Winter Gardens is in a better state than what the Granville was in. So it fills me with confidence, that we can do it with a lot, as I said, in a longer period of time as well. There are obviously challenges that we know that are immediate that we need to fix. But yeah, nothing too scary. I hope, fingers crossed, anyway.
Kent Online News.
The boss of a Kent animal sanctuary is urging people to think twice before getting a rabbit as she's overrun with abandoned ones. 20 are currently being looked after at the Lord Whiskey charity near Canterbury. It's thought as many as 67,000 end up in rescue centres across the country each year. It seems there's still some confusion over a part of Kent 60 years to the day that it was lost to London. Some people living in Bromley and Bexley say they still feel part of the county and don't consider themselves Londoners. 28 smaller London boroughs had existed before 1965 when it was expanded to 32. Kent Online's Sam Lennon has been finding out how some residents feel.
Would you say you're part of Kent or London?
London.
I was born in Kent and I'm from Kent, but I know I'm part of London as well. So
I think we're part of Kent.
not to say London is unfriendly, but people around here, from what I've noticed, are a lot friendlier. Compared to when I'm inside London, and it's not the same vibe.
So Londoner to me is more someone who's closer into London, in the inner boroughs rather than the outer boroughs. Yeah.
Just literally where I live. That's where the stop and DA starts in my address, really. So I'm part of London myself.
On the map, it's London, but the postcode does signify Kent, but I say London.
Both, really. I like Kent and I like London. Well, I don't really go into central London, but I like the outer London area.
But you still say Kent because so much of this area is a Kent postcode.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Because Kent's nicer.
Okay.
Perhaps you live in Bromley or Bexley. Let us know what you think by commenting on the story.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a first home game for Gillingham's new manager tonight. They welcome Colchester United to Priestfield after picking up a point at Harrogate on Saturday. Gareth Ainsworth was pleased with that and says he's looking to build a real culture at the club.
Sometimes we won't train. We'll do a team bonding thing where the boys will get to know each other. I want them to know each other's names, families, previous clubs. So when you're on the pitch, you're thinking, I'll fight for him because I know all about him.
Tonight's visitors are up in eighth in League 2. Kickoff is at 7:45. Meantime, Gillingham's latest financial report has revealed a pre-tax loss of £4.3 million, although turnover is up. The document is for the year to June 30th, 2024. Turnover had increased from £6.3 million to £8.22, with Chairman Brad Gallantson investing more than £2 million in the form of a loan and a £1.3 million donation. Staying with football, and Jay Saunders is going to be the new Folkestone Invicta manager. He signed a four-year deal, which will come into effect when he leaves Tunbridge Angels at the end of the season. He's set to be joined by assistant Tom Parkinson and first-team coach Lloyd Blackman. A Tottenham legend side is going to be playing in Kent this summer. They'll be taking on Herne Bay Youth Vets for a one-off charity match at Whitstable Town's Belmont Ground. The lineup hasn't been confirmed just yet, but it's happening on July 20th. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, or one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.